It is 3 minutes past eight. These are your listener-sponsored radio stations, KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley and KFCF in Fresno. And my name is Chris Welch, and I'm here to host the second of the Candidate Forum Nights live on the air here. There'll probably be some other such events. Berkeley Community Television usually does something. And we'll let you know about that. But tonight, from now until about 10:30, you're going to be hearing from some of the candidates for local station board. And these are the folks that sit on that board and vote and make decisions about all kinds of stuff. Who gets hired and fired as manager and all of everything. There's a whole, and finances, lots and lots of things to be discussed and decided. And those of you who are interested in running, anyone is welcome to who's a subscriber, and anyone's welcome to vote who's a subscriber at the $25 a year rate or more. This candidates for this election, of course, are already selected and chosen, and they're hot and ready to tell you why you should vote for them when the election happens. So we're going to get right at it because there are a goodly number of them. The woman who's been behind the scenes making all of this happen is Janae Jenkins, and we're very happy to have that you're doing this because I couldn't do it. Hello. Good evening to you.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for being the moderator and the host this evening. I am Janae Jenkins. I'm your local election supervisor for this station's elections for 2007. We're urging everyone to vote. Your vote is very important. Your count will get heard. Tonight, you'll hear state candidate statements. You'll get a chance to get to know the candidates, answer questions, ask questions, call in, let us know what's on your mind, any questions you want to address the candidates. Tonight's candidates are Attila Nagy, Warren Marr, Soraya Sayati, Cece Campbell-Rock, John Van Eyck, Diane Enriquez. It's the first segment. Second hour, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., will be Susan McDonough, Antonio Medrano, Mara Rivera, David Heller, Richard Phelps, and Gerald Sanders. There's also a segment from 10 to 10:30, and we'll discuss we'll announce their names during the next segment. So what we're going to do first is have the candidates, each candidate, go around and say their statements and get a chance to get to know the candidates. Thank you so much for listening.
And people, it's going to be time for listeners with questions, where do they call?
They will call 510-848 KPFA, which is 510-848-5732.
Now, that's the number in the subscriptions room. If you want the number in here, I think, which would be better, it should be 848-4425. I didn't know. But so, okay, cool.
Thank you.
510-848-4425. And when should people call? We'll tell them when.
Right. We'll open up the lines after each candidate gives their statement.
Okay, so... Thank you, Janae. When is the election? When are people going to be getting their ballots?
I'm sorry. The ballots went out today.
Wow.
Yep. Elections, we will need to get our ballots back in by November the 15th. December 1st, all ballots are counted, and we announce the ballots.
Okay. So you all have to listen up because you're going to have to decide from all the names that come at you on this ballot who's who. So we're going to start right here on my left, and the first name on the top of my list is Cece Campbell-Rock. And Cece, why don't you tell folks who you are and what you're about?
Thank you so much, Chris. Well, this is going to be unscripted. I'm not going to read a statement, but I will say that I'm new to the Bay, well, relatively new. 2 years and counting with the Katrina diaspora. I've come from New Orleans. Some people may remember that when I got here, I wrote extensively on the issue of Gulf Coast justice for the San Francisco Bayview newspaper. I moved on from there to help found several nonprofits around the issue, including Survivors for Survivors, Inc., and the Hurricane Relief Information Network with the Bayview. And I worked with Global Women's Strike to form Hurricane Evacuees Council of the Bay Area. I've since been active in the same fight for Gulf Coast justice, but it's a fight that's just not indigenous to the Gulf Coast. You're having some of the same problems on this end. Your levees for the Sacramento River are very poor. You have the same issue with the Army Corps of Engineers here as we did there, only our levees broke. Yours haven't as yet, but they probably will. And so there are a lot of issues around social justice that I've witnessed. The fight over the land in Bayview Hunters Point is the same thing that's going on in New Orleans. And so I'm basically straddling two worlds here, but trying to fight for social justice on all levels. When I was in New Orleans, I was an education activist, and so I'm monitoring the education situation here in the Bay Area very closely. And again, there are parallels. In New Orleans, I fought against high-stakes testing and only to come up here and to see it go in place here. So the issues are primarily the same. I am a member of the Voices for Justice radio slate, and what we're trying to do is bring KPFA to its highest level. I think it's a wonderful station. Of course, we don't have such a voice in New Orleans, so the people in the Bay Area are fortunate to have KPFA. But certainly anything can be improved. And I would love to be able to sit on the board and talk about how we get to the grassroots, how we begin to cover events on the ground, how we do a man on the street type of profile, how we look at the labor movement here, how we look at the justice movement here, how we deal with police brutality here, the criminal justice system. There are so many issues that call out for social justice here in the Bay, and I certainly want to be one of those who could represent Voices for Justice and the people in the Bay Area.
And that was C.C. Campbell Rock. I can't see John, but I know he's in there. Van Eyck?
That's right, Van Eyck.
Van Eyck. John Van Eyck is next. E-Y-C-K. Go right ahead, John.
Hi, I'm John Van Eyck. I'm running as a listener sponsor on the Concerned Listeners slate. I will bring to the board more than 35 years' experience in both the arts and labor. I've been active in these arenas at many levels, as an actor, an announcer, a scenic artist and set designer, an administrator, a union rep, and as a board member. And I would be honored to serve on the KPFA board. As a representative of arts, entertainment, and media unions on the board of the National Endowment for the Arts, I work to fund projects in the inner city, rural, tribal, and other underserved communities. I was for many years the executive director of medium-sized unions in the entertainment industry. I worked extensively with the boards of these unions and played a key role in the setting of vision and policy and the integration of new technologies for those organizations. Through this broad range of experience, I believe I've gained a deep understanding of the differing roles of both board and staff, the difference between governance and administration, and because of my arts labor background, the interdependence of board, administration, and on-air talent. A few thoughts about KPFA. It is essential that we widen and deepen the listener base and reflect a greater range of cultures and interests. Reaching into more communities is a win-win for the station. We broaden our potential funding base. We increase our face-to-face contact through more community forums, events, and town hall-type meetings. Getting out there shows us where and what new local programming is needed. We also must help produce quality in-depth programs on labor and environmental issues to be shared by the other network stations. We need to get our signal and programming and microphones into the Central Valley. Outreach is key. I have proven skills in negotiations, administration of national and field offices, budget planning and analysis, organizational planning, training, and meeting facilitation, and the like. A locked-on listener since I moved west in the 1987, I've gained so much from KPFA and its fine staff, both in my working life and personally. Naturally, like the rest of us, I was outraged when our voice went silent during the dark times of the hostile takeover. There's been an awful lot on KPFA's plate since the reclaiming of the station. Now, the board must work as a team to become a major force in the areas of fundraising support, community outreach and participation, increasing listeners and our signals reach. I want to help ensure that KPFA is able to stay true to its mission of dialogue, diversity, and social change. In this day of endless wars abroad and the chilling of free speech at home, I'm sure concerned. That's why I'm John Van Eyck, running with the Concerned Listeners. Check out more of our ideas on www.concernedlisteners.org.
And thank you, John. We're going to go to a candidate on the telephone, and I hope he's there. Attila Nagy, are you there?
Hi, Chris.
Good. You go right ahead. I hope your radio isn't on, or if it is, you turn it way down. Attila Nagy.
Okay, it is off. And my name is Attila Nudge, or Nagy as it is most often pronounced. I'm a candidate for re-election as listener representative to the local station board to carry on with the responsibility of representing the interests of KPFA listener supporters. I'll continue to work for transparent and democratic governance to be accountable to our primary stakeholders, KPFA's listener subscribers. One of my concerns is outreach to the communities in order to broaden our listener base by supporting good management and staff who are responsive to listeners' needs. Programs that are relevant to the diverse communities in our signal area will invite a broader demographic that will support the station. Most KPFA listeners tune into their favorite programs and are grateful for this progressive alternative to corporate media. Those who can afford to give what they can to sustain this radio network. Although KPFA professes democracy in the world, we're still in the incubation period of the democratic governance process within the station. Ideological differences divide the LSB. On one side, there is a resistance from the status quo to input by listener stakeholders, but the majority of the listener reps want accountability and transparency in the management of KPFA and Pacifica to avoid what occurred with the self-appointed national board of the 90s. My votes on the LSB have been cast to advance democracy and transparency. As LSB members, we must maintain a financially sound and viable public radio to serve the listeners and make sure that KPFA abides by its mission to give voice to underrepresented communities. The October fundraiser is coming up. It's often repeated that KPFA can't survive without listeners' dollars. This is true. As a listener rep on the LSB, I'm concerned that KPFA makes good use of listeners' contributions and gives back by airing programs relevant to the communities, issues that don't get addressed in the corporate media. I'm a graphic artist and musician. I also work with several organizations in the North Bay, including the Petaluma Progressives, the Community for Immigrant Rights of Sonoma County, Voces Cruzando Fronteras, the Martin Luther King Committee. I'm on the Peace Press editorial collective of the Peace and Justice Center. Was co-founder of North Bay for KPFA and formerly served two terms on the Green Party of Sonoma County Council. Among my endorsers are Peter Camejo, Michael Parenti, Bonnie Faulkner, LeVarne Williams, Eva Royale, the Petaluma Progressives, Peter Phillips of Project Censored, and others. Not to be confused with the slate called Concerned Listeners, I, Attila Nagy, am nevertheless a concerned KPFA listener and a candidate for re-election to the local station board as a listener rep from Sonoma County. For more information about me and other pro-democracy KPFA candidates, seepeoplesradio.net.
All right. Thank you very much, Tilla. Next up, someone here in the studio with us, Diane Enriquez.
Hi.
Good morning, or good afternoon and evening.
Good evening.
Good hello, everything.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. I would like to start by thanking the listeners for joining us and taking time out of their busy schedules to learn as much about the candidates as they possibly can. So let me start off by saying again, my name is Diane Enriquez, and I am currently a community organizer for Young Workers United in San Francisco. And what we do in Young Workers United is we work to incorporate the young and immigrant workers that are in the service sector, and we try to incorporate them into the labor movement and bring the issues of working in the service sector to the forefront. Some of the recent victories that we've had are bringing a living wage to San Francisco, and now San Francisco has one of the highest minimum wages in the country. We have also passed paid sick days, which is the first paid sick days law in the country, and now every worker in San Francisco can take time off if they get ill or if a family member gets ill. In recent years, I've worked as a programming manager and a host for a world music show at a community radio station in New Zealand. And I've also had the great pleasure to work as an apprentice for the first voice apprenticeship program here at KPFA. So I decided to run for the local station board for many reasons, one of them being my experience in radio. I have a basic understanding of how to run a station and how a station runs, as well as a more specific knowledge of the inner workings of KPFA, its staff, and I have a really deep respect for the high level of skill necessary to execute the quality content that we as listeners have heard and have grown used to and want to continue to hear. So I feel this knowledge is useful for a board member to have in order to make educated decisions about what is best for the station. I also feel that it is important for the board to focus its energy on outreach and creative fundraising approaches. I believe that my experience as an organizer gives me the necessary skills to think creatively about reaching out to underrepresented communities, draw them in, as well as to be an effective fundraiser, because it's what I do. I'm also running because I'm a young woman of color, a perspective that I feel is lacking on the local station board. I believe that my presence on the board can serve as a bridge to many different communities, including youth, the working class, and immigrants. I am committed to the continued growth and success of KPFA, and I want to aid in its progression as the station stays true to Pacifica's pioneering spirit by adopting new technologies, expanding its content on the internet, and continuously reaching out to wider audiences. So I bring with me a desire to work cooperatively and collectively with other members of the board, a great passion for radio and progressive media, and a fresh new energy for the continued rejuvenation of KPFA. I am proud to be running with such a great group of people on the Concerned Listener Slate, and if you'd like to learn more about me or get more information about the slate, you can visit us at www.concernedlisteners.org. Again, my name is Diane Enriquez, and I'd like very much for you to vote for me.
And thank you very much. Two more. And one of them on the telephone with us, Soraya Sayadi. Good evening to you, Soraya.
Good evening to you, Chris. How are you?
Quite well. You go right ahead.
Hi. My name is Soraya Sayadi. I'm a Kurdish Iraqi, and I'm known to KPFA, and KPFA I really admire and appreciate for all the things they have done compared to any other media in the United States, especially for the Iraqi people and the people in Afghanistan and all that. That's why I am running as a board member, because of my background, being from Middle East. I like to provide a perspective from home and here. And being a refugee, I like to try to connect all the people who are, even in the United States, they are refugees themselves, like what has happened in New Orleans. And I consider all the Native Americans as refugees, permanent refugees of the United States, like the Kurds. So I think I will bring a good perspective to the station, and I was honored, and I was working with Voices of the Middle East a while ago, and the Labor Collective, and my passion always has been for working class, and as a doctor, I could bring the perspective of the people who are underpaid, they're sick, and disabilities. And I'm very compassionate about women's issue. And I like to expand on the women's programming at KPFA, especially here in the United States and internationally, to connect all the sufferings, especially of women going through as consequences of war, culture, religion, and everything else. And the other thing I really like to do is to work with other stations of KPFA to have sister station to do national programming, and with the help of all of us, some of our member of our slates are very good in media, to produce a radio station in New Orleans and to see what we could do to help each other. And I think KPFA is a beacon to all the unheard voices. And I think we could do a little bit more, especially internationally. And I have lots of connections in other countries, especially in Iraq and Iran and Turkey.
Hi, Soraya. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Your time is up.
Okay. And I'd like if everybody, I appreciate, could vote for us. Our slate is called Voices for Justice Radio at google.com. And I'd be glad to work for KPFA. Thank you.
Soraya, also, we want to keep in mind that there is a 3-minute maximum in which you can finish your candidate statements. Thank you, Soraya.
And one last candidate for this round making statements, and then each candidate will draw a question out of the hat.
Random question.
And they'll get to answer questions as well. Let's see. And the last, but definitely not least, Warren Marr. Good evening to you.
Hi, Chris. Hi, my name is Warren Marr, and I'm running for the local station board on the Concerned Listener slate. Please check out our website at www.concernedlisteners.org for more information about our entire slate. I'm running because I've been a listener and supporter of KPFA for many years. Our station has played a critical role in building public sentiment against the war in Iraq with shows such as Democracy Now! As a labor organizer, I also know how important local shows such as David Bacon's reporting is for the locked-out garbage workers in Alameda County and the immigrant workers battling both their employers and La Migra at the Woodfin Hotel in Emeryville. I am also a supporter of KPFA's diverse musical offerings, from Bonnie Simmons' show on Thursday night to the Saturday shows on bluegrass, blues, and jazz. I have also benefited from Davey D and Waylon's shows, educating listeners on the art and politics of hip-hop. I feel that the station has really improved in this last period of time, but we need to do better, and we need to do more. I am running for the board because KPFA has the ability to reach half the population in Northern California. We have the ability to broadcast into the foothills of the Sierras and also the Central Valley. We should seize the opportunity to educate more of the population about the difficult political times our country is in. The Bush regime continues to wage war on the peoples of Iraq, threatens the entire Middle East, and continues to promote militarism against our southern neighbors in Central and South America. Here at home, immigrants and workers continue to be attacked as we criminalize youth of color in all our urban ghettos. KPFA can play a bigger role in educating and uniting a broader movement against these politics. In order to do this, we need a clear vision to broaden our programming and promote diversity in our community outreach, including paying attention to music and arts. We have to reach more young people, and that's why I'm really happy to have Diane Enriquez from Young Workers United on our slate. We also have to stop the factionalism and infighting that has plagued the board so we can have civil debates. The KPFA board does not have the luxury of being a debating society. We haven't done enough work helping the station expand into more diverse communities and raising more money. We are in stable financial shape now, thanks to our dedicated staff and interim managers, but the board should contribute more fundraising from our listeners. I feel strongly about getting more listeners signed up because I feel we would also democratize the station this way. Only 10% of our listeners are members now, so less than 10% of the people are going to vote in this election. I am supported by Roseanne DeMoro of the California Nurses Association, Mike Casey of the Hotel Workers Union in San Francisco, and Renee Salcedo of the Day Laborers, among many other labor and community activists.
Hi, Warren. Sorry to cut you off. It's your 3-minute mix. I'm sorry.
I'm proud to have their support and hope you will vote for me, Warren Marr, for the same reasons they support me, which is because I've done a lot of organizing in my life. And check out the entire Concerned Listener slate at the www.concernedlisteners.org. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for all your statements, guys. What we're going to do next is we're going to ask you all random questions out of a hat. And first, we're going to start up with Attila Nagy. She's shaking up the questions. All righty.
Now, let's see, Attila. Let's do you.
Okay, the first question for Attila. First, let's keep in mind that we have a 2-minute maximum to answer the questions. Attila, your question is, what constituency, if any, do you feel you could be a liaison for to KPFA? And how specifically would you maintain communication with that constituency?
Well, I live up here in Sonoma County, Santa Rosa specifically. I so I could represent the North Bay. I've been involved with North Bay listeners since, well, I've been a listener up here for many years, but since 99 we organized North Bay for KPFA, and I get input from listeners all the time telling me what they like or don't like. Also, I'm with the Committee for Immigrant Rights locally up here, and could and would like to see more programs addressing issues in the immigrant community, and I can perhaps help with input on that.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Attila. Let me put him back on hold. Okay. Our technology with the telephones isn't quite where I'd like it. Pull a question out of here. Who is this for?
The next question is for C.C. Campbell.
Okay.
C.C. Campbell Rock.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here. Oh, boy. What should be done to ensure the financial health of the station?
Well, aside from the fund drives, I think the station needs to put together a well-planned annual fundraising on-the-ground grassroots campaign type of events. They need to sponsor events that are going on through organizations. They need to become sponsors of those events, because that's where we can not only get more memberships who will then, you know, sign up and as paid members, but also you're getting involved in the community. So that the fall fund drive, which starts October 16, is a wonderful thing, but we must get on the ground with the people in terms of sponsoring events by other organizations that are out there doing the work of social justice. And I wanted to, again, ask people to vote for me. I didn't get a chance to say how they can find out more. They can go to voicesforjusticeradio.googlepages.com. But, yeah, we're going to have to really get out in the trenches, in the grassroots, and sponsor what our listeners are doing towards social justice.
Thank you, Cece. The next question is for John. John, your question is, what would you do to resolve conflict and improve the functioning of the board?
Well, the fact is that if people come to the table with an inflexible vision, harmony is difficult to achieve. To be effective, the board must comprise individuals who have experience in setting aside political differences, personal egos, and pet projects, and have a commitment to reaching agreement and closure. With all of the division and sectarianism existing in our country today, dividing people and threatening the collapse of our society, the last place we need sectarianism is within our station board and in our approaches to problem solving. Look, I'm not the first in these forums to point out that within any board, and especially one such as ours, where critical issues are presented passionately, that there will not, or even should not, be sharp disagreement. The question is how one works toward resolution of the disagreements. For instance, it's our own choice. An individual style of working toward final agreement by always building on your prior agreements, or a style where one throws a temper tantrum and leaves the meeting, will make a big difference in how torturous the road to a final decision becomes.
Thank you so much, John. Sorry to cut you off.
But everybody gets 2 minutes. Now, tell about these questions. All of the candidates have had this list of five questions to think about, and then we're just drawing one of those five out of the hat, and each one gets to then present the answers that they have prepared.
Right. So cool. There's only five questions, so some of the candidates might answer the same questions.
Okay. So who gets the next one?
The next one is for Diane. Diane, what constituency, if any, do you feel you could be a liaison for to KPFA? And how specifically would you maintain communication with that constituency?
Well, I believe that I'm already a part of several constituencies. I'm, you know, a member of the East. I've lived in the East Bay for a really long time, so I have a lot of ties to different community organizations in this side of the Bay. I currently live in San Francisco, so I have a lot of ties to different organizations on that side of the Bay as well. I am a member of Young Workers United, which has this vast network of organizations and just different people that we know and different people that we work with, from, you know, Pride at Work to Chinese Progressive Association to members of the Board of Supervisors. So in terms of my organizational network, I have a pretty vast network, and I can kind of bring in people from all sorts of different angles in that way because of the work that I do. I'm also a youth. I'm a member of the youth, and I think that that's one of the most, a very important community that isn't really being reached out to very much right now on KPFA. And so I think that that's kind of one of my key elements as a candidate, to bring in more of a youthful audience. I'm a woman of color, and so there's another one.
Thank you so much, Diane. Next question is for Warren. Warren, hi. How should the station expand and diversify listenership?
Well, I think we have to do more direct outreach to different various communities, especially communities of color. I think it's not just a matter of programming, but we also have to be at community events. I think some of the KPFA DJs are already in their own right sponsors and organizers of different genres of music. I've been to different music events where KPFA was a sponsor, yet there was no KPFA table. I mean, I would feel that I would, as a volunteer and as a board member, I would like to work some of those tables. I think we have to get out there with our music, our promoting the artists that we support. We also have to get out there with our politics and other paraphernalia, like our stickers and buttons and everything else that we have available. That's the way commercial radio stations outreach to the community, and I think that they get out there, and we need to do the same thing.
Okay. We have one last question for one last candidate, and that is Soraya Sayadi, who is on the telephone with us. Good evening, Soraya.
Good evening.
Oh, good. You're still there. Good.
Soraya, what constituency, if any, do you feel you could be a liaison for to KPFA, and how specifically would you maintain communication with that constituency?
As most of the candidates, I'm part of many constituencies. Some of it maybe KPFA knows about. I am with, as I said before, very involved with the women's issue, especially when it comes to honor killings and women's right in Middle East. And I have a direct connection with my colleagues in Iraq and in Kurdistan and all over Middle East, especially. I like to have those countries. And the other thing is my activism. I've been in this country 31 years as a young person, and I am very compassionate about what's going on with minorities in this country. Example, recently when I went down to Jena, Louisiana, with a van full of young students, black student majority, to Jena, Louisiana, I like to have more minorities, like, you know, especially we need like Native Americans and the black youth to have a youth radio where they're involved. They could get in charge what the law is about them, to activate and to guide them and to learn from them. And that's what I like to do, and to bring them around. And we are going around right now, actually, to different universities and churches and places, giving talks, what they have learned, what they could do for the future of this country as a youth, especially as African-American youth, the laws and the things like
that. Thank you so much, Soraya. What we're going to do now, guys, thank you for answering all of our questions. We're going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to take some calls. The first call we get, we'll ask each candidate to answer the question.
So we're going to get one question from a caller, and then everybody's going to answer that question.
Correct.
Cool. And here's the caller. Are you there? Welcome to this is the candidates' night, the second candidates' night for KPFA station board candidates, and the ballots went out today, and voting closes on November the 15th. So between now and then, it's up to you folks in the audience to get acquainted with these listeners. We've had one group of one forum for the candidates already, and this is the second and final. And so, good evening to you on the air. What's your question?
Yes.
Yes.
In Pacifica, station staff, including unpaid staff, elect one quarter of the delegates who also sit on the governing board. A key duty of that board is to present a pool of candidates from which the foundation executive director chooses a station general manager. But the station general manager, frequently an interim general manager, has some influence on who counts as unpaid staff for delegate election purposes. If elected, how would you consider the possible conflict of interest where an interim general manager acted to change who could vote as staff just before an election record date if he applied for the permanent GM position?
I understand this question because I work here, but I'm not sure if our, we'll have to find out. That's a question. It's a legitimate question. So could you say that very, very, just the last part? What would you do, what,
if elected? How would you consider the possible conflict of interest where an interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if that interim manager applied for the permanent general manager position?
So the reason we're asking, I keep asking it because we're going to ask the same question to the next, in the next hour, to the next, so I've got to get it very clear because you're not going to call again. So how would you deal with the possible conflict of interest, if an interim station manager changed, did you say?
Acted to change. Who could vote as staff.
I knew I should have kept up with my my shorthand. Who could vote as staff?
Let's say unpaid staff.
As unpaid staff.
Just before an election record date.
Just before an election record date?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What does that mean? Election.
Meaning the date where it's determined who's a listener, sponsor, and who is a unpaid staff.
Oh, okay.
Who is a volunteer?
So let's see. What would you do if about the possible conflict of interest if an interim station manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff before an election record date?
Just before.
I did write it. I didn't read it. Just before an election record date.
If he applied for the permanent GM position.
If the IGM applied for the permanent, for the GM job. Okay, well, thank you very much, and we'll run this past our candidates and see what they do with this question. Well, should we start with Cece at the top of the list here? Okay. Cece, Campbell Rock, you first.
Well, I don't know too much about the politics and inner working of this station, but what I can say is if we're going to follow the tenets of the United States, it's one man, one vote. And I just think it's appalling that one person can decide who's going to vote and who's not going to vote. Unpaid staff, paid staff, everybody should have a vote. You know, in terms of the inner workings, I just went through that in New Orleans where our whole school, elected school board was abolished just about. And one man, the superintendent, who was our paid staff out of our tax dollars, got to decide on policy. So I would work as a board member to change that policy altogether.
All right. And how much time do they have to answer the question? I know you're taking care of that, Janae. But.
Oh, that's okay. We're going to ask you to keep the comments short if you can, at least 1 minute. I know that's not a lot of time, but program's running. We've got about 18 more minutes before the next group comes on.
Okay. Then next, to answer the same question, we have John Van Eyck. Go right ahead, John.
Well, you know, I'm certainly am kind of wet behind the ears on KPFA politics. I think the question goes to something that was an unfortunate occurrence here, that the interim manager apparently did not provide a list or said to the unpaid staff organization that that if at the moment they weren't going to be recognized for some technical reason. And that's about as much as I know. I do want you to know and all to know that I support the unpaid staff. and everything they do. And I think KPFA still does, even though this snafu occurred at a very unfortunate time. And that we should know that the station management allows the unpaid staff organization to meet using station facilities and publicizes meetings using station email lists. And you know, and I think whatever happened is going to be behind us. And that's as much as I can say with what little knowledge I have with kind of such a loaded question.
Thank you so much, John. We're going to go on to Diane. Same question.
All right. As a former apprentice, I think that it's I've spoken to a couple of people about the situation that's just happened, and there are moves by the board currently. You know, the board currently says that they support the unpaid staff and their right to choose representation and their right to organize whatever endeavors they will, and I totally support that. In terms of if an interim manager decides to, you know, run for a permanent position or things like that, I think that that situation would already be remedied. And because the board does pretty steady evaluations on the general manager, it's kind of something that it's a pretty extreme hypothetical. But I feel like the situation is on its way to being remedied. And, again, it was unfortunate, but we can work together.
Thank you so much, Diane. Next, Warren.
Hi. Yeah, this was is a very nuanced question, and actually it came before me because I was a delegate of the San Francisco Labor Council, and a lot of the unions that were involved in both the West Bay and in Alameda decide not to take a position on it, mainly because it wasn't just a management problem of recognizing the unpaid staff or, in labor's terms, volunteers. But it was really a question of KPFA doesn't have really strict guidelines, like what is an unpaid staff? You know, is it somebody that volunteered 3 years ago or somebody that volunteered last month? So I think that made it hard on everybody in terms of, you know, who is this thing called the unpaid staff or the people volunteering? And I think that as a board person, we do value the people who are not paid and put in an incredible number of hours, and the board has taken a position that we recognize their right to organize. But I think one of the first things we have to do is clarify, you know, what is the unpaid staff? How many hours should somebody be volunteered they vote?
Thank you so much, Warren. Next, we're going to have Soraya Sayadi.
Hi. Actually, it looks like most of them don't know what's going on because I was a counsel for unpaid staff for the past 2 to 3 years, and this was coming about 3 years ago when Roy Campanella was in charge. I fought very hard for the unpaid staff organization. Actually, few members who were unpaid staff themselves to keep their own programming, they helped the management to erode the unpaid staff. An unpaid staff organization like Warren doesn't know about, we have our own bylaws, and there's 30 hours per year in programming if you do, and about 60% of the programming at KPFA is done by dedicated unpaid staff. Many of the great programs are done by unpaid staff, and these people work because they have a passion. They have other jobs they try to keep, and I think it's a very unfair for management to get involved in this. This has been put together many years ago. We've worked on myself and with other unpaid staff to put grievances for unpaid staff and to treat them just like other members. And we have to appreciate
what
they're
doing. Thank you so much, Soraya. So sorry to cut you off. We have to keep our minimum here. Attila Nagy?
Yes. Well, I have to agree with most of the statements made previously by the others, and the board did vote to support the unpaid staff organization's right to organize and hold elections, although some board members did abstain, and it's unfortunate that listeners don't attend these meetings, the LSB meetings, to know who votes for what and who, you know, as listeners should support as representatives on the board. I personally, you know, like is stated, most of the programming is done by unpaid volunteers, unpaid staff, and they do have a right to organize themselves without management interfering, especially with their elections.
All right. I thank you, Attila. And everyone has asked that question. So now we are going to get one more question from a listener at 510-848-4425. Good evening. What is your question?
Well, I'd like to follow up on the question that was just asked and have a little bit more of a direct response to the question of whether what the candidate's position is on the IGM, interim IGM, derecognizing the unpaid staff, and the interim program director not considering program counsel to only be an advisory body instead of a decision-making body regarding programming.
Okay. I'm torn about this because this is like the same topic and there's so many topics to talk about. But could you put that very succinctly? Because I don't know how often we are going to be in the situation where we have to deal with an IGM and de-recognizing, as you put it, the unpaid staff. It seems like there's so many issues.
Well, I think this goes to the larger issue of how the management is going to act democratically and include make decisions in a democratic manner. So I don't think that this is a limited issue, but I think this is the issue for unpaid staff right now. And I think that it is a crucial issue, and I think that it is symbolic of the larger issue of how decisions are being made. So I think it is really important that listeners and unpaid staff want to know how the board will
decide. And forgive me for asking you to defend your question, but can you put it like briefly, because I'm going to write it down, and the people are going to be asked the same question in the next hour.
I would like to know their position on the IGM's derecognition of the unpaid staff and the interim program director's utilization of the program council as only advisory and not a decision-making body.
Okay, now let me see. Position on the IGM's derecognizing of the unpaid staff and the interim program director, the IPD's, what did you say about the PC? Only advisory?
Only allowing the program council to be advisory and not decision-making and not have an input on decision.
Allowing the program council to be only advisory and not decision-making. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's get everybody on board here. And number one, C.C. Campbell Rock, it's your first.
Well, I think that when you start having power in just a few people's hands, you defeat the purpose. As I understand this station, it was founded to push an agenda of social justice and world peace. And I don't see where that's just at all. What is it? Is this really a true nonprofit, or is this a corporate structure, every other kind of radio station? Is this a commercial station? I mean, it just begs questions for me. Well, I don't have a depth of knowledge about KPFA, but what I think it is idealistically, then to have a programming console where you just give them lip service and just kick their suggestions on the side and proceed like you want to, and to have a GM that derecognizes unpaid staff, and that sounds very commercial to me. I am a broadcaster. I am a journalist, so I'm speaking from what I know. So is KPFA a commercial station or a nonprofit? It is airways for the people, or what exactly is it? That's the question that needs to be answered.
Thank you so much. And next we'll have our next person up, which is John Van Eyck.
It's a hypothetical question that was asked about the unpaid staff, and so I'll give you a hypothetical answer, and that is simply if I were a board member interviewing somebody for that position and it came up, I certainly would take it upon myself to uncover all of the facts in the situation and make up my mind as to whether it was something that was malicious and intended or something that was a little bit more under pressure and and a snafu, as I said before. So I really don't know. But I think we do have a difference in our concept of the program council, and I think it's explained in the bylaws and so forth. And I think that it's a valuable institution, but station management must have the final say on programming decisions, period.
Thank you so much, John. And next we'll have Diane.
Well, again, I think that the non-paid staff have a vital role in the station. They have the right to organize. They should be able to decide what their representation is. And, again, the board's already decided to support them. So that's basically where the issue lies.
Thank you very much, Diane. Warren?
Okay, I think we've all kind of answered the question on the unpaid staff. I think we support their right to organize. The question is, who is in the group? That is one of the big questions. So if they can clarify that, I think we would support their right to organize. On the program council, I think I would feel that, you know, the board really has to set a vision for programming, but it's not up to us to micromanage every single program. And I think that's one of the problems that's happened on the board is everybody has a pet program. You know, there are some things I like more than others in KPFA, but my support for the station is not based on the fact that I like one program or like one music genre more than another. So I think that's really important to understand the board's role versus the staff's role. We hire progressive, professional journalists, and we need to let them do their job.
Thank you so much, Warren. Next, we'll have Soraya.
Actually, you know, I had met with interim manager. This issue is very, very close to my heart. About 2 years ago, I was she eliminated many unpaid staff members just before election of a council of unpaid staff. And I told the council members, others, that you should be careful. She's trying to dismantle this. So I think unpaid staff, they will have my full support to be at KPFA, a democratic station. It was built on that vision of unpaid staff and volunteers of the community. And the other thing is with the programming council, they should include, I have said that from the beginning, it should not include the people who have programming themselves to be on the programming council, because that has led to erosion and bias. They scratch each other's back, and this programming will stay in a stale. We should elect people who doesn't have a bias, whose program is going to stay on, and we need more fresh programming at this days of war, and we need more different kind of music, and, you know, we need to have new programming.
Thank
but
you.
It has to be controlled by, you know, not micromanaged by management.
Thank you. Thank you, Soraya. Next we'll have Attila Nagy.
Yes, hi. Well, the issue here is democratic process versus top-down management. I think that's what the question was. And it does relate to the unpaid staff and their organization, as well as the program council, which I served on before I was elected to the LSB. And we made week-to-week decisions about programming about if there's a special program, is it going to replace. So these decisions were like a regular program, if there's a special program, something in the community going on. But and we made decisions about that. Unfortunately, we made a decision also, well, fortunately, about Democracy Now! Being aired from 7 to 8 rather than 6 to 7, which 7 to 8 is when people drive to work. It's prime time. It's when people want to hear about what's going on in the world and get a chance to hear it if it was on prime time. That decision was never put on and was never what I'm trying to say is It was reneged, and that was a decision by program. Since then, the program council has been ineffective. There's no review of old programs that have been on for years and years. There's no new programs put on. There's a top-down management.
Thank you so much, Soraya. Sorry for cutting you off.
Attila.
I'm sorry, Attila. I am so sorry. So that wraps up tonight's forum. We went
to this hour.
For this hour. We have another lovely group coming in at 9 p.m. They'll be on from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., a group of six candidates. Again, I want to announce the name of each candidate tonight. We have Attila Nagy, Warren Marr, Saria Sayati, CeCe Campbell-Rock, John Van Eyck, and Diane Enriquez. We also want to give them a big round of applause and thank you for participating tonight. This important network needs the support of all of you listeners as never before. One and very important and key part of that support is to become more involved with the election of the local state board of each station. You can learn more about the local elections at www.kpfa.org/elections. Thank you so much for listening tonight, and we have more forums up and coming. We have one on November the 3rd and the following on November the 10th. So please stay tuned. Thank you.
And in fact, we have another cluster of candidates that are coming your way in just a minute or two, and we will subject them to the same torture we just subjected the first six to. So don't go away. You're going to be asked to vote about these folks, and you're going to want to know as much as you can about them before casting your vote. Stay tuned to listener-sponsored KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley and KFCF in Fresno. It is 3 minutes past nine. You're listening to KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, your listener-sponsored radio stations. And, in fact, this is a very important evening for the listener sponsors among you. An election is coming up for members of the local station board, and the ballots went out today. We're going to be wanting them back, all marked up with your choices of who is going to represent you on the local station board by November the 15th. So we're presenting a series of forums where you can meet the candidates. We had one group of six in here between 8 and 9, and now KPFA local elections supervisor Janae Jenkins will tell us who's up for this hour.
Thank you so much, Chris, for moderating and hosting this evening. My name is Janae Jenkins, everyone. I'm your 2007 local election supervisor. It is my pleasure to help coordinate this year's election. Tonight, we have our second segment of programming for our candidates that are running for this year's election. Tonight, who we have up? We have Susan McDonough. We have Antonio Medrano. We have Mara Rivera. We have David Heller. We have Richard Phelps. And we have Gerald Sanders. Starting off, each candidate has 3 minute maximum. Give out your statement. Tell us about yourself, who you are, and, of course, you're running for the local state board. And we'll go from there.
All right. And who's there in the corner next to you, Richard?
Mr. Medrano.
Antonio Medrano.
All right. Antonio Medrano, shall we start with him?
Sure.
Okay, cool. You get to make your three-minute statement. So go right ahead. Antonio Medrano.
Muchísimas gracias. Soy Antonio Medrano. Soy de San Pablo, Richmond, donde vemos muchas injusticias de la migra. I'm Antonio Medrano. I come from the Richmond-San Pablo area, retired teacher, 40 years in the classroom, an activist in the San Francisco Bay Area, in Marin, then in San Francisco, and now in Richmond. From the canal area of Marin, where we helped organize undocumented workers, now, then to San Francisco, and now in San Pablo, in Richmond, I've been one of the leaders of West County, considered one of the leaders of the Latino-Chicano community in West County. My interest is education, the struggle against the migra, we call it ICE, and also now I'm doing tenant organizing. My background, aside from being a teacher for 40 years, as co-chair of the Consejo Latino, vice president of the Education Fund, this year we'll be giving over $100,000 away in scholarships to students, to the seniors of the West County Unified School District. I'm also on the board of Rosie the Riveter, trying to collect labor stories of the people who lived in the area during World War II. And I'm chair of my local Montalvin Manor Advisory Committee from our local area, and a very active in the Immigrant Task Force. We need a greater outreach to our community. Berkeley and San Francisco, as much as they may think so, are not the center of the world. There's other communities out there from the Central Valley. I just spent 1 month in Oaxaca last January with an International Commission on Human Rights looking into the abuses of the government in Oaxaca. I was interviewed by the Radio Campesino in the Central Valley. Not by the local KPFA branch in Fresno. Why? We need to expand our interests. If you want Latinos to listen to your station, listen to Radio Campesino that emanates from Fresno, California, and also from Visalia. Look at those, please. I say yes to democracia, yes to democracy, no to sectarianism. We must reach out and listen to all the voices that are out there. Gracias. I'm Antonio Medrano. I'm running for the board. Vote for me. Gracias.
And thank you to you, Antonio. Let's just move right along, I guess, to the next person sitting to your left is Richard Phelps.
Good evening, Chris, and good evening to all the listeners out there. I'm Richard Phelps. I'm running for re-election. And just a few things about me. I've worked in radio, AM and FM, and currently I work as a mediator. While during my first term, I was elected chair of the board for about 14 months. And I met my wife here, Rose. We've been married for 30 years. I met her at KPFA in 1974. So I have a lot of roots here, and I've been an active person involved here for many years. You know, I've always been a crusader for inclusive and fair elections. And while on the Pacifica National Election Committee, I authored a motion to require on-air coverage with candidate information every day from before the ballots go out until the last day to vote. This would have meant only 3 to 4 minutes every 3 hours rotated fairly. My motion was passed in committee 10-2. While it went to the national board, it was amended beyond recognition with votes from Sarvar Ndawa, Rosalinda Palacios, and Mary Berg. All three of these people consistently vote with concerned listeners, and Sarv was a candidate on their slate last year. Based on their amendment, there was no candidate information on the air for 2 weeks after the ballots went out last election, while an expensive concerned listener slate mailer went to many subscribers to arrive with the ballots. Based on that same concerned listener-supported amendment, there will be no candidate information on the air after tonight for at least 2 weeks, maybe three, and I'm sure concerned listeners will be sending out another expensive mailer to fill the vacuum created by the candidate information gag rule, which is enforced by the management that they support and that supports them. That same management records speeches like Howard Zinn's in April and saves them for fund drives instead of playing them while current or broadcasting them live. During the pitching, they play half the program, and if you want the entire speech, you must buy it for $100. The Howard Zinn speech, recorded in April, has not been played in its entirety on KPFA for 6 months. I have bought numerous programs in my 33 years supporting KPFA. I have no problem with selling the speeches to raise money here, as long as we play the programs for our low-income listeners in a timely fashion.
Richard, we have to wrap it up.
I do not have a problem with creating two classes of listeners, those that can afford $100 and those who want to hear the whole thing. KQED even plays the entire program. So if you want fair elections and programs for all people without discrimination, vote for People's Radio candidates and check out our website at peoplesradio.net.
Thank you. Next we'll be hearing from Gerald Sanders. Gerald Sanders?
Okay. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear.
All right. My name is Gerald Sanders, and I am a founding member of People's Radio. I've been a listener of KPFA since 1975. I'm a union electrician, a member of the IBEW Local 595. I have a 40-year history of social and political activism. I am and have been centrally involved in the struggle to save the life of Mumia Abu-Jamal. As a founding member of the Mobilization to Free Mumia and also a founding member of the Labor Action Committee to Free Mumia, I'm still involved in that struggle, and you know, please pay attention to what's going on. He's in court right now. The LAC, the Labor Action Committee, initiated and helped organize the 1999 Oakland School District teach-in on the death penalty in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. 50,000 children learned about Mumia's case and the death penalty on that day. We also helped organize the West Coast port shutdown by the longshoremen of the International Longshoremen and Warehousemen's Union, demanding the freedom for Mumia. Very important, I think that was. Now, I'm a founding member and supporter of Berkeley Cop Watch also. I've been active in many other political arenas. For example, back in 1996, I ran for the school board representing District 3, which is West Oakland, in alliance with the teachers union. In spite of the fact that my opponent outspent me 10-1, I received 46.4% of the vote. I have been involved in grassroots radio for some time. I volunteered at KPU when it first started, at a time when they were still using egg containers to soundproof the studio. I worked on the Amandla program at KALX. I was among the founders of the Free Radio Berkeley. a micro-transmitted station, 104.1 FM, and functioned as a convener on various committees. I am presently working with Berkeley Liberation Radio.
Okay, Gerald, I want to start wrapping it up, please?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
In the course of my activities, it has become increasingly clear how important KPFA is to our community. During the Pacifica crisis of 1999, I, as a member of the Frank Little Club, helped to organize the main demonstration in support of KPFA. Now,
Gerald, that's our time.
Okay, I just would hope that I could get your vote. And if you want to know more, please check out peoplesradio.net. Thank you, folks.
Thank you so much. Next up, we're going to be hearing from Mara Rivera.
I'm Mara Rivera. I've been a KPFA listener supporter since 1962, part of the KPFA democracy movement since 1995, have worked in other democratic community organizations since the 70s, and have been a worker owner at Rainbow Grocery Co-op for 28 years, a co-op with 200-plus workers, which is democratically run. I know that shared decision-making is important and that it is achievable and workable. Now I'm running for KPFA local station board with other People's Radio candidates who support a democratic KPFA. Our bylaws, adopted in 2003 in the wake of an attempted takeover of Pacifica, set up a democratic structure for KPFA in which listeners elect 3/4 of the representatives on the LSB and the staff elect 1/4. Yet we find a small group opposed to including the listeners in shared decision-making. It is a group within the staff, and I have seen this situation before. It is those who have power who will fight to the death of principle, in order to keep their privilege. This group and their allies presently have a slim majority on the LSB. All its officers and the interim general manager and program director are part of this group. The disharmony and obstructionism on the LSB are a result of this situation. It is not the foolishness of the left fighting among ourselves, nor the uncivil and contentious versus the reasonable and accommodating. It is between those who want the LSB to be making meaningful governance decisions as set forth in the bylaws through its meetings and committees, and those who don't want this and try to obstruct it. This situation has been enabled by the lack of an informed electorate. The listeners have little access to the truth of a situation which is denied by our opponents. They do have access to and much respect for their favorite programmers, some of whom do not support an elected board, program council, and other features of our democratic system here.
Mara, would you like to start wrapping it up, please?
Okay.
Okay.
But do support a listener slate which will go along with them, the concerned listeners. How ironic for KPFA to support democracy everywhere, but it's in its own backyard. But democracy is a constant struggle even here, and I encourage listeners to inform themselves by visiting peoplesradio.net, for example.
Thank you so much, Mara. We have to move on. Our next candidate up is David Heller.
Hi. My name is Dave Heller. I'm running for the LSB because the station needs more transparency, accountability, and democracy. In the 1960s, President Johnson reserved the lower portion of the radio dial for public broadcasting. He did so because he believed that we need media that is out of the sphere of influence of the corporate industrial complex. Unfortunately, National Public Radio has become a bastion of corporate advertising under the guise of sponsorship. Excuse me. Like NPR, KPFA is under attack from moneyed interests who do not want any small-d democratic input into the station. Some would just assume sell the KPFA airwaves to the highest bidder, which, given KPFA's location on the commercial section of the radio band, would command a hefty sum. Excuse me. We still have a very good chance of keeping KPFA independent of the people who want to dumb the station down. That's why I joined the other candidates from peoplesradio.net to hold the line against people who don't want listener participation on the board or in any decision-making at the station. This very election is a case in point. Why are the elections for the LSB happening 1 week after our local, state, and federal elections? Why are the campaign cards not being played on the air until over a week after the ballots go out? Why haven't we had airplay and public forums where the public can meet the candidates before the ballots go out? You could not come up with a better recipe for low voter returns. People need to make an informed decision, or as one potential voter told me, you might as well toss a coin. single transferable voting.
Dave?
Yes?
It's time to wrap up.
Really? I thought we had 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You've got about half a minute left.
Okay.
So that was what that means.
Okay. Democracy Now!, the flagship news show of the Pacifica Network, is played at 6 a.m. before most people are awake and 9 p.m. after most people are at work. Does it make any sense for most powerful program to be put on at, when fewer people are can listen? Who are making these decisions? Please rank me, Dave Heller, and my colleagues Attila Nagy, Stan Woods, Richard Phelps, Gerald Sanders, Mara Rivera, and Bob English as your top choices. Thank you.
And last but not least, I'm sure, is
Susan McDonough.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Susan McDonough. I'm running for KPFA's local station board as part of the Concerned Listener Slate. Please check out our website at www.concernedlisteners.org. I've been listening to KPFA for years. I've received both crucial information and news as well as enjoyment from KPFA, and I feel it's time for me to give something back. I'm frightened by what's happening in our country, the erosion of our civil liberties, the rampant racism on the rise, scapegoating of undocumented workers, extraordinary renditions, and the general state of affairs here. Add to that the role of the U.S. overseas. We have nearly 1,000 bases stationed around the world. We've seen 1 million Iraqis die since we invaded, and we're poised to wage war on Iran. The point is, it's hard to find out about these many issues in the mainstream press. So where do we hear about the People's Tribunal in New Orleans 2 years after Katrina? On KPFA. Where do we hear about Woodfin workers being fired after they tried to assert their rights by law? On KPFA. Where do we learn about the depth and detail of Blackwater's criminal actions in Afghanistan and Iraq and elsewhere? On KPFA. Now, KPFA is the most financially healthy station in the Pacifica Network. Another candidate earlier this evening stated that listeners give what they can. In fact, that's not accurate. Did you know that only 10% of our regular listeners subscribe? This isn't acceptable. It's imperative that we reach out further, cast a wider net, and bring more members into KPFA. By expanding our base, we'll actually build more democracy into the station with more voices and more participation. The LSB has a reputation for bogging down in infighting. It's time to look outward. We must come up with a thorough and varied fundraising plan. More funds mean more programming, mean more coverage, more reach. It means a booster for the Auburn area. It means community partnerships in area we desire to reach, in the Valley or the South Bay. I'm a labor organizer, a peace activist, and a former nonprofit fundraiser. I want to use that experience to help expand KPFA's listenership, increase our financial base, and broaden our reach. I'm proud to be endorsed by Sharon Cornu, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Alameda Labor Council, and in fact, the entire Alameda Labor Council has now endorsed me. Amaha Kasa, Director of East Bay Alliance for Sustainable Economy. Journalist and author Reese Ehrlich, poet and Chicano activist Joe Navarro, and Pam Tao Lee of the Labor and Occupational Health Program here.
Thank
Please
you,
vote
Susan.
For me, Susan McDonough. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have 5 questions that we're going to shake up in the little box here, and we're going to go around and ask each candidate the question out of the box. So the first question goes to you, Susan. The question reads... I'm sorry here. What would you do to resolve conflict and improve the functioning of the board?
Well, I think it's a good thing to have different opinions on the board. Where I think we could make a little progress is to agree to disagree on certain things, but come together on the need for more fundraising, expanding our outreach, expanding our listener base, and bring in more funds to enable the station to do more.
Thank you. The next question is for Antonio Medrano. Antonio, your question that you have tonight reads, what should be done to ensure the financial health of the station?
We do a lot of fundraising in Contra Costa County and also in Central Contra Costa County.
I think we need to go to those areas where people are organizing. For example, the tent cities that we went to and spent the night at in Richmond. Go to those areas where the working people are organizing. Set up a table and say, we are KPFA, the voice of the people, the voice of the working class, the voice of unions, the voice of civil rights and human rights. Go to those areas and tell the people, we are here. Tell us your stories. Once they know that you're really interested, that you don't have to travel to Berkeley or San Francisco to be listened to, people will respond. I staffed the table for 6 hours on Saturday and 5 hours on Sunday at a St. Mark's festival, where we passed out information about the Migra, the ICE folks, labor stories, human rights, tenant organizing. And people said, no one's ever asked us that before. I said, well, there's a station that will listen to you. Will you listen to the station? Gracias.
Thank you so much. The next question is from Mara Rivera. Mara, top three goals in serving the local state board?
to ensure that everything is being done to encourage fresh, new progressive programming that engages our listeners, including a strong representative program council. Encourage outreach and communication with different constituencies. See that listeners are informed about our governance and have a chance to give feedback to the station.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. The next question is for David Heller. David, your question is, what constituency, if any, do you feel you could be a liaison for to KPFA? And how specifically would you maintain communication with that constituency?
Well, I think I could be a liaison for people who want to bring democracy to KPFA and accountability and transparency. You know, the way this station is being run isn't open to the people, and we need to get more people coming to board meetings and you know, getting involved with the station in a more active way. And so, you know, that would be my role as one of my roles that I'd like to perform as a board member.
Thank you so much, David. The next question goes to Gerald Sanders. Gerald, your question is, how should the station expand and diversify listenership?
Well, difficult question. A wider audience, is that what you're asking? I think that we have to work to keep the members we have first, and then, of course, I think it's largely through programming. This is a radio station. So if we can really initiate an honest and open discussion with people who are interested in KPFA, the interested parties, bring them together. Let's talk about, when we talk about youth programs, I'm not talking about 30-year-old people. We need some youth programs for young kids, probably, you know, on the weekend. So it's things like that. For things like that to happen, we have to first be open to it happening. I guess a common complaint we need to make our news more progressive and sound less like, you know, an AP wire. And yes, we can do better. We've got the talent. We've got the people. It ain't no question about that. The people are out here. We have to have an open mind and open our arms for our communities.
Thank you so much, Gerald. The next question is for Richard Phelps. Richard, what would you do to resolve conflict and improve the functioning of the board?
Well, that's kind of an unfair question for me because I work as a mediator. That's my profession for the last 12 years. And, you know, I think people have to try to work together. One of the things you do learn as a mediator, though, is that people have to want to resolve problems. You know, I did a mediation today between an individual who was injured and a city government, and one of the sides didn't really want to talk settlement, so it didn't go very far. We have to really deal, I think, for my 3 years on the board, we have to deal with the issues of principles and truth and honesty, because what's happened on the KPFA board is that there's a lot of games being played by certain people, and certain principles that I believe in, which have been talked about already, transparency. You know, I fought for that for 2 years for director's inspections with LeVarne Williams, and other people fought against that. And we need to have those principles being followed by everybody, and we'd have less dissension.
Oh. Thank you, Richard.
And let's see. Where are we here? Gerald, we've, Mara? Everybody's
answered the questions, yes.
I wanted to say that those questions I found very interesting were five questions that everyone got asked ahead of time, and everyone had a chance to figure out what they wanted to say about them. And these questions were arrived at by the local election supervisors of all the five stations working together. That's network building to me. That's good. Now, these two questions that are going to come next that everybody's going to answer were phoned in by listeners in the last hour when we had the six candidates there, and we're just going to ask the same questions. And they're on the same topic, I think, and I hope I wrote it down right, so I'll read it each time. Okay, good. So who goes first?
First, we'll start with Gerald Sanders.
Okay.
So, Gerald, this is how I wrote down the question from the listener, and I hope that the listener will forgive me if I've mangled it a little bit here.
Okay.
What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job?
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry that some of the people that are running are so ill-informed, because I heard somebody say that, well, there was no way to know who was on the staff. That's nonsense. Who is or is not on the staff is defined in, you know, the Pacifica bylaws, okay, very clearly, for those who want to check it out. Now, I am, all right, I'm a little biased. Why? Because I'm a union person my whole life. My grandmother was a maid, and she was in SEIU. So, I mean, my mother's retail clerk, but daddy longshore. Look, but I think I have to say that I support the unpaid staff without reservation, and here's why. These people come in, and they volunteer their time. There are 200 of them, we should know. 200 of them. Do they have a right to organize? We think that there is no, I tell you what, People's Radio and myself, we think there is no justification for the interim manager to withdraw recognition from this unpaid staff organization. If I had been on the board in August, I would have voted to for, you know, the motion supporting the unpaid staff. Now, I also think it's important that we all should understand and clearly support democratically chosen decision-making, you know, bodies for volunteers. They have things that they need and grievances and whatever. Without, if you say you support a democratic process, you have to do it in the real world. So I also support a program council that is democratic.
Thank you so much, Gerald.
Mm-hmm.
The next question, well, the same question is for Richard Phelps. Would you please read the question for Richard Phelps, please, Chris?
What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job?
Well, as a person who's been an attorney for 25 years and done some work with the state bar and ethics stuff, you've got some problems there with conflicts and a lot of complicated questions. But I think the poll point would have to be brought up to the local station board immediately, and we'd have to look into it and make some recommendations. That would be our duty as a governance body, and perhaps even take it to the PNB, the Pacifica National Board, because, you know, we want to have fair and transparent elections, and that's really an important thing, something I have crusaded on for my whole time being involved with KPFA since I've been in governance. And it's a constant struggle. And we need to work on that, and I think that would have to be a top of the agenda item on the very next LSB meeting, or maybe even call an urgent meeting to deal with such things like that.
Thank you so much. David Heller, you're up next. Would you like to read the question for him, please, Chris?
What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job?
Yeah, this conflict of interest stuff seems to be a big problem here at KBFA. And, you know, we need to come up with rules, and people need to know what the rules are, you know. And so the general manager should have to account to the board for how and why she's making these decisions. And exactly that, you know, democratic process involves the elected people. And, you know, if one person's all of a sudden changing rules, that's what we call a dictatorship. And, you know, that should not be happening at a public radio station that's supposed to be responsive to the listeners and you know, the people who are paying the bills. So, you know, I would say that she would have to answer to the board as a whole, and that the board would have to take up the issue and you know, make a decision based on the bylaws.
Thank you so much, David. The question is for Mara Rivera, the same question.
What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job?
Well, it seems like there's several questions there. Yeah. And the general manager is evaluated by the local station board, but I think that's a little bit too late for this election. I would suspend the staff election. I mean, as part of the LSV, you know, we'd have to consider that, but my goal would be to suspend that election until there was a fair selection of the unpaid staff. And I would definitely give the general manager a poor evaluation for doing that.
Okay. Antonio Medrano, you're up next.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes, I certainly will. What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job?
Okay. Responding as a longtime labor activist from the days of Sitzhar Chavez in the Central Valley up to now, all workers have the right to organize. That's point number one. Point number two, if the board has a responsibility to oversee the actions of a general manager or anyone in the department or at the station, then that should be taken up to the board, and the board should discuss it and decide what to do about it. It should be immediately taken care of. Not let it linger on and on and on and become a divisive issue. Because we have other issues that are more important, which is the war, our economy, students, the migra, you know, NAFTA. I can go on, you know, for hours on what our issues are. We should be discussing those issues, what affecting our community. Gracias.
Thank you so much. Susan, we'd like to ask you the same question.
What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job?
Well, I have to say, as a labor organizer, I fully support the right of unpaid staff to organize. The question is about a possible conflict. It sounds hypothetical, so I'll leave it at that. I would agree that the issue should go to the board, but bottom line, unpaid staff do have a right to organize.
Thank you, everyone, for your answers. We have another question that one of our callers called in earlier this evening, and we're going to start with David Heller.
Okay. And the question is, what's your position on the – it's related to the first question, obviously. What's your position on the interim general manager derecognizing unpaid staff and the interim program director allowing the program council to be only advisory and not decision-making?
Well, you know, the unpaid staff at the station are the backbone of the operation here. And to not support these people in every way we can is you know, an abomination. And, you know, we just can't go around derecognizing workers. You know, this is important that steps be taken to avoid any kind of actions like this again. And certainly the station manager should be reprimanded in some way for pulling acts like this. It's just it's unconscionable.
Thank you so much. The same question we're going to ask you, Antonio.
We've spent now almost 15 minutes talking about this, failure of workers or not recognizing the workers' rights to organize. They should be able to organize. But I resent the fact that we spent 15 precious minutes where we could be talking about the shootings in Richmond, the poverty of our schools, the poverty of our roads, the immigrant bashing that's going on, the right-wing fanaticism that, criminalizes anyone who can't produce an ID card. Those should be the issues that KPFA should be discussing. Walk out to the street. Talk to the people. This is not what they're talking about. They're talking about hunger, kids being arrested on the street because they're not supposedly legal residents in the United States, harassing the students, students being arrested and can't go home, and they're taken to the migra. The young man in San Rafael who was 5 years old, he was a U.S. citizen, taken to the jail, taken to the migra jail because his fat dad was undocumented. Those are the issues you should be addressing. It's the war. Our country wants to invade Iran. Our president is nuts. Let's do that. Discuss the real core issues that are affecting our communities. Let's move on.
Thank you so much, Antonio. You're very welcome. Next up is for Richard Phelps.
What's your position on the interim general manager derecognition of unpaid staff and the interim program director allowing the program council to be only advisory and not decision-making?
Well, I agree with Antonio that there are many important issues. As an LSB member, our job is governance, and our purpose is to resolve these kind of conflicts. That's what we're here for, so that those other things can happen smoothly on the air. I want to tell people some history about this struggle, just so you'll know, because what's important about this is to know how things happened. There was 13 people came to the board from the unpaid staff, and a motion was made. Five people did not support that motion to support the unpaid staff to have an organization. And those five people were all concerned listener activists. Sarv Randhawa, Sherry Gendelman, Bonnie, and Sherry's running right now, Bonnie Simmons, Brian Edwards-Tiegert, and Phoebe Sorek, they all did not support that motion. So, I think people need to know these kind of things when they're going to decide who's going to do what. And as far as the program council, Sherry's publicly stated she thinks it should only be advisory. Brian has said that. So, People's Radio believes in democracy. We want listeners on that program council who have something, authority. We want a broad spectrum of people deciding what should go on the air, not a small group of three or four people. So, it's very simple who's on which side of these questions, and I think you need to know that when you vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question will be for you, Gerald Sanders.
I'm here.
Yes, you are. What's your position on the interim general manager derecognition of unpaid staff and the interim program director allowing the program council to be only advisory and not decision-making?
Well, I just hope to reiterate, I didn't say it clear enough the first time, that had I been on the board this past August, I would have voted for the motion that supported the unpaid staff, first off. But it's kind of, I don't really understand it, to be honest with you, why anybody would. I mean, people, are trying to help us. That's right. They come in and give up their time. I can't see dissing people like that. But for the question of our program council, I also support a democratically chosen decision-making program council. KPFA is supposed to be a community organization. Well, and the community has to be entitled to its representation. And the way that we figured it out, we created this body. And, I know people that have gone to those meetings for years really give of themselves. I think it's important to respect that and to understand that decisions about programming matter. We want to have some way to keep our fingers on the pulse of our community. And how do you do that? Through
allowing them representation that has real decision-making power. So I think these decisions are too important to be left entirely in the hands of one or two managers. I think that the program council is a good model. I support a democratically organized program council.
And thank you, Gerald.
Thanks. The next question is for Mara Rivera.
And the question is, what's your position on the interim general manager de-recognizing unpaid staff and the interim program director allowing the program council to be only advisory and not decision-making?
Well, as far as the general manager de-recognizing unpaid staff, somebody said that in other circumstances, this might be referred to as union busting. And that kind of decision shouldn't be made by an outside entity which is not part of that group. It should be the unpaid staff themselves that decide what they're going to do with their organization. And when this was done, they were in the process of having an election, which went forward and should be respected. And as far as the interim program director using the program council only as advisory, I think that the actual case was much worse than that, that the program council was not, in this instance, even used as an advisor. In fact, it was in the process of being disbanded because people were over their terms, but there was no replacement for it at a time when programming decisions, important programming decisions, had to be made. And, in fact, somebody on – they continued to meet anyway, and somebody on the program council mentioned that they hadn't even heard about the selection of the replacements for the Sunday host, actually. They hadn't even heard about that replacement. They heard about it secondhand afterwards. And that was not, as our bylaws recommend or mandate, as a matter of fact, that programming decisions be made in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to produce quality programming. And one of the duties of the LSB is to oversee this, and I think that they needed to.
Okay. Last but definitely not least, Susan McDonald.
What's your position on the interim general manager de-recognizing the unpaid staff and the interim program director allowing program council to be only advisory and not decision-making?
Well, let me reiterate that I do support the right of unpaid staff to organize. I'm a union organizer by trade. I just don't have all the information to get into this, take a position on something I don't have all the information on. But bottom line, unpaid staff have a right to organize.
Thank you so much. Well, what we're going to do right now, it's 9:45. We're actually done a little early, but actually we're not finished. What I'm going to do is ask each candidate if they may, say at least about a minute and a half closing statement for tonight.
And we're going to have you all talk at once. No, that's not true.
We're going to start with Susan. Susan, would you like to give us a closing statement this evening?
Yes. It's an urgent time for this country and for the people of the world, and we have a huge task ahead of us. I hope to be elected, and I ask for your vote to take KPFA forward and expand our listenership, expand our financial base, and reach more people in helping build a movement to change things in this country. Thank you. And please vote for Susan McDonough, part of the Concerned Listeners Slate. Check out our webpage.
Thank you so much, Susan. Antonio, would you like to give us a closing statement?
Sí, como no. I'm Antonio Medrano, a candidate for the board. When we're facing times, and I'm trying to remember when I was at the tent city in Richmond and having the people there listen to the discussion we just had for 22 minutes, they would go, "What in the heck are you talking about?" When we're facing greater issues, that our government is allowing torture to happen, but they don't call it torture. They call it rendition, where you take somebody out of the country. I want to be that voice that came from the Central Valley, from working-class parents,
for civil rights organizers in the 50s called the CSO. I'm an educator, an activist. I will never stop being an activist, nor cross a picket line, nor drink Coors beer or Gallo wine. Vote for Antonio Medrano. Tu voto es tu voz. Vote for us. I'm a member of the concerned listeners. So look us up. Gracias. Buenas noches.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Mara Rivera, would you like to give us a closing statement this evening?
Yeah. Well, I'm in favor of a strong, empowered local station board. And some people believe that the local station board should be like other corporate boards, that is, run from the top down and concern themselves merely with things like fundraising primarily, and maybe rubber stamp decisions that are made from above. But that's not what our local station board is. Our local station board is empowered by the bylaws to perform different functions, one of which is to monitor programming to make sure that it's meeting the missions of the foundation, and as well as many other functions. But I believe that it should take on, it should not be afraid to set policies and to take on those basic functions of making sure that a radio station is functioning well, that is a radio station. And I would like to ask people to vote for people's radio candidates, Attila Nagy, Stan Woods, Richard Phelps, Dave Heller, Bob English, Gerald Sanders, and myself, Mara Rivera.
Thank you so much, Mara. David Heller, would you like to give us a closing statement this evening?
Yeah, I'll try to finish what I had written. single transferable voting is the best system for electing multi-seat bodies, but if most people don't know whom they're voting for and have scant information on what they stand for or what the issues are, people with access to money who can send out mailers have a huge advantage. And why have some of the people running for and or on this board plan discussions about how to dismantle it? What is their goal? While I'm very happy that Amy Allison has landed a position on the morning show, I'm not so keen on what happened to the replacement for Larry Bensky's Sunday Salon. Why was the LSB not involved in either of these decisions? Having the board approve a person for a powerful weekly two-hour segment of airtime is not micromanaging in any sense. What would happen if the Senate was taken out of the process of approving Supreme Court nominees? Additionally, people should know that one of the concerned listeners actually fell asleep at during the treasurer's report and laid herself out on two chairs to take a nap. Now, she seemed neither concerned nor a good listener. Please rank me, Dave Heller, my colleagues, Attila Nagy, Stan Woods, Richard Phelps, Gerald Sanders, Mara Rivera, and Bob English as your top choices. Thank you.
Thank you so much, David. The next question is for Richard Phelps. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Richard. Would you like to give us a closing statement this evening?
I'd be glad to. You know, I've been involved in peace and social justice and labor activism for over 40 years, and I've been involved in radio since I worked as a radio announcer when I was a young man for 6 years about. And, you know, I really care about this station. In my term, I've spent numerous hours on national and local committees, and I've worked really hard. I was chair of the board for 14 months and tried to bring a level playing field to all the discussions and debates. What's really important to think about is that we bring in about $4 million a year from listeners, and it's important that this station is your station, not just during fund drives, but all year round, because it's your money that makes this place work, and it's for you that we are here. So we want to integrate listener advice and consent and all the processes, and it's very important. Several people have mentioned Woodfin tonight. Just so you know, I've been an active Woodfin picketer, and I've been down there a lot before work, after work, and on the weekends every time I could.
Thank you, Richard. And Gerald Sanders, you're the last for a closing statement.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I want to remind our listener audience that Pacifica is still under the gun. My primary concern is to ensure that the stations that we already have, as I said, continue to exist. We're not promised this. This is something we have to work on. We can't work on it by attacking the folks that volunteer for us. We can't work on it by keeping our listeners in the dark. You know, we really do have to come together here and try to do the right thing. I would like to see Pacifica extended to as many news stations as possible. I would also like to assist KPFA in deepening its roots in the black community and the labor movement. Now, let me tell you something. KPFA does a good job in many instances on things that touch the black question. I'm a member of the San Francisco, the Committee to Defend the San Francisco 8. And I'm telling you, I'm really proud of KPFA. Mumia Abdul-Jamal's voice is heard on KPFA. Free Mumia Abdul-Jamal. Long live KPFA. I think that the fact that I'm a socialist gives me a perspective that strengthens my ability to bring people together at a time in which we are being attacked by the powers that be up and down the line. Brothers and sisters, I would really appreciate your voice. I mean, your vote, and please vote for People's Radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gerald. I'd like to give everyone, just give yourself a round of applause for participating in the forum tonight. Congratulations. We're done with this forum from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sit tight, everyone. We have another forum coming on from 10 p.m. to 10:30. Thank you, Susan McDonald, Antonio Medrano, Mara Rivera, David Heller, Richard Phelps, and Gerald Sanders. If you want to find out more about the election, it's very important, listeners. Your vote needs to be heard and counted. One part of that support is to become a member involved with the selection of the local state board. You can learn more information at www.kpfa.org. Thanks to everyone, and shortly we'll be on with our next segment.
This is so cool, all these different cuts on here, mixed up and shaken around, and that's what we're going to do with the questions in the box for our candidates. This is another in a series of forums for you all to get to know the folks that are running to represent you on the KPFA local station board. Your ballots were mailed out today. So if you are a subscriber, it will be coming in the mail any day now. And then you're going to be asked to off the candidates that you want to speak for you on the local station board. And in order to do that, of course, you've got to know who they are. And we are providing some airtime for these folks to talk to you in person. We've been on here since 8 o'clock this evening, and we're going through clumps of candidates. We've had two clumps so far. We got one more from now until 10:30, and it is now 10 o'clock, and you're listening to KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. Greg Bridges with Traditions on Transitions on Tradition will certainly be back, and we're very grateful to him for giving us some time. My name is Chris Welch, and I am happy to be here with Janae Jenkins, who is KPFA's local elections supervisor. So what's going on the next half hour?
Well, first of all, Chris, I want to tell you thank you for hosting and being a part of our on-air forum for today. For tonight, I am Janae Jenkins. I'm your 2007 local election supervisor. It is my pleasure to help coordinate and manage this year's election to the best of my ability. What's important now is our elections. Tonight, we have Carl Bryant, and we have Matthew Hallinan joining us for our on-air forum tonight. Each candidate will start with their three-minute statement. After this time, we will answer questions at random out of a box, and we'll go from there. So we'll start with Carl Bryant. He'll give his statement first.
Good evening, Carl. Good. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, go right ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to thank all the listeners of KPFA for having this forum. I'd like to say my name is Carl Bryant. I'm a letter carrier for the United States Postal Service. I'm also a union member, a member of the National Association of Letter Carriers. And I have also been a producer of public access television for the last 13 years. And I'm also a delegate to the San Francisco Labor Council. I'm a delegate for the National Association of Letter Carriers. I first got involved with KPFA when I attended a forum at Unity Church. Unity Church in Oakland. There was members from the Bay Area of all labor union representatives. And this forum was to bring about more labor programming on KPFA and improve labor programming on KPFA. This was I think it was about 25 members that was there at that forum. And soon after the labor forum, they formed the Labor Collective, which was a few of us who hung in there and participated with KPFA through periods of meetings and getting together to see what the program was going to be about. We formed the Labor Collective. The Labor Collective produced a lot of labor programming at KPFA, and I think that's vital for KPFA to do more labor programming and to get the workers' side and the workers' stories on the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Carl Bryant. And we have here with us in studio as well, Matthew Hallinan. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
And you have 3 minutes to present your statement.
Okay. My name's Matthew Hallinan, and I'm running for the board on the Concerned Listener slate. And I'm running as a result of a whole series of changes I decided to make in my life as a result of the invasion of Iraq. And basically, I think we all witness with horror what happened in those days, where the entire world of mass media came together in this deluge of misinformation that just pushed the American people into this horrible war behind George Bush. And I think all of us, at least myself, for the first time, I began to realize what trouble we are in this country and how we are up against a incredible right-wing apparatus, Wall Street apparatus that can marshal their think tanks and their talk shows and their Christian radio and television. And it was just frightening to see what happened, and that our facts and our voices were completely overwhelmed. And it was really the first time, I think, in my life that I thought we might really lose this long-term struggle. Well, for me, it was a tremendous wake-up call where I just decided that not just me, but I think the whole left in this country has to make some changes. And the two conclusions I drew from it is that, first of all, we have to stop fighting ourselves. We have to realize that what we share is much more important than our disagreements. And we have to get our priorities straight. And the second thing is that we have to become more effective. We have to learn how to talk to the American people. We have to find common ground. The American people are decent people. And very often we have cut ourselves off from them with our own vocabularies and our own concerns, and have not treated them with the respect that they need to be treated before they're going to listen to us. So my interest in KPFA has come out of these decisions that I've gone through, which is that, you know, this is one of the very few big voices that we really have, that we have some way here to counter this tremendous media exclusion that has taken place in this country. So I see this as a very important venue for us to figure out how we take something that's very good and make it something that's even much better. My vision for KPFA, the things that I would like to address on the board, is, first of all, we have to reach a larger audience of progressives. And there is a huge number of developments taking place right now. I work with what I would call the Democratic insurgency, the blogger movements, the new movements in the Democratic Party.
Matthew, your 3 minutes is up.
Oh, my gosh.
Time flies when you're having fun. You'll have another chance to talk. Janae, what do we tell people now?
Okay, next we have some questions here in the box, or random questions, and we will start with you, Matthew. The first question that we need you to answer here tonight, question reads, what constituency, if any, do you feel you could be a liaison for to KPFA? And how specifically would you maintain communication with that constituency?
Well, that fits into the next part of the speech I was going to give. I have gotten involved in the last 4 years with the formation of a left-wing progressive movement inside the Democratic Party. And I was one of the founders of the Wellstone Democratic Club. And we are trying to form a progressive section to fight for progressive candidates within the Democratic Party. Right now, I think we're a vital, very important movement. There is a progressive caucus in the state. There's a bloggers movement. There's a whole group of people who are not KPFA listeners. And I see this as my job to find a way to on the one hand, make KPFA deal with things that are of interest to them and will pull them, and on the other, begin to get them informed about the potential of what KPFA can be for them.
Thank you so much. Next, Carl Bryant, here's your question.
Okay.
Carl, how should the station expand and diversify listenership?
How should it?
Okay, no problem. How should the station expand and diversify listenership?
One way of expanding would be getting involved in labor, specifically, say, programming some of the labor programming some of the like the San Francisco Labor Councils, like some of the council meetings, because there are a number of unions and workers throughout the Bay Area who need to listen and need to hear things about workers and need to hear things about workers' struggles and need to hear things about what's happening with health care, what's happening with workers' issues. So I would say that would be one way of expanding the listenership of KPFA. And also, as far as diversity, it would increase diversity greatly because just take, for example, the San Francisco Labor Council and San Francisco itself and Berkeley and Oakland, that they're very diverse communities. And I don't think the workers participate as much as they would if we had more labor programming on KPFA. So I think that's a way of outreach. That's a way of getting to new listeners who are workers and getting people involved in listening to KPFA.
Thank you so much, Carl. Next, we have two questions from callers that called in earlier this evening. And Chris is going to read the two of you the questions that we have tonight.
And who do you want to start with?
We can start with Carl first.
Okay. So here's the first question. What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job?
Wow. That's
a very long question.
It's very long, and it's technical, too, about what happens at KPFA. And as far as conflict, my mother-in-law is a conflict resolution person, and I would enjoy having her deal with the conflicts at KPFA. It would be an ongoing job for her, and it would be great for her to do that. So I'm just making that as a way of reducing conflict. Now, you have to tell me again about this interim manager and manager of KPFA. What was that part of the question again?
Yes, I could. If the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election, if the interim general manager applied for the general manager job.
That sounds like a conflict of interest, and I think I've heard other people answer that as a conflict of interest. So with a conflict of interest, I think that in a democratic society such as KPFA or a democratic situation such as how KPFA operates, I think that that should be brought to the members of the unpaid staff, the paid staff, the local station board, and all of the volunteers to come up with an answer on a collective basis as how to deal with an issue like that, especially when it's a conflict of interest and it's one person doing it. I think that that should be done by everybody at KPFA.
Thank you so much for answering the question for us, Carl. Okay, next up, Matthew Hallinan. We're going to have Chris read this question for you.
What would you do about a possible conflict of interest if the interim general manager acted to change who could vote as unpaid staff just before an election record date if the interim general manager applied for a general manager job?
Well, I think Carl gave a good answer. I just think this is a bad question. I'm not really conversant with all the issues that are going on the specifics in KPFA. I've decided to run because I have an idea, a bigger vision of what I would like to see KPFA become. I don't really know anything about this, and this is a thing that you have to answer in terms of the specifics. And so what I see, I've heard this earlier tonight too, and I just don't understand why this is the question that is being asked to people who have no basis for answering it. And what it has brought up to me, I think, is that, you know, what we need is a board that can get above the specific antagonisms and the power struggles that are going on between different sections in the station, between the paid staff, the management, the unpaid staff. I mean, we really need to get a collaborative approach here where people can sit down and figure out how to do this and not just polarize.
Thank you so much for answering the question, Matthew Hallinan. Keep calling you by your first and last name. I'm sorry. So we have another question up for you. We'll start with you first, and Chris is going to read you the question as well.
And it's on this relative topic. What's your position on the interim general manager derecognizing the unpaid staff and the interim program director allowing the program council to be only advisory and not decision making?
Well, again, it's just not something I'm really conversant with, but my feeling is that you have this is a station that's made up of different parts. The unpaid staff is not everything in this here. We have a paid staff, we have a management, and we have a board that is elected. And it just seems to me when you're talking about program, you know, one section of that community should not make the decisions, whether it's the unpaid staff or the management or whatever, that there must be a collaborative atmosphere that's created for this station to work right. And I mean, that's the reason I want to run for the board. I don't think we can make progress of getting out of where we're at now unless we learn how to work together and trust each other and treat each other with respect.
Thank you so much, Matthew. The same question we have for you, Carl. We'll have Chris read it over again.
Thank you.
What's your position on the interim general manager derecognition of unpaid staff and the interim program director allowing the program council to be only advisory and not decision-making?
Well, the unpaid staff is very important to me, and I can only speak of it because while doing my programming with the labor collective at KPFA, we got involved with the unpaid staff quite often. So with that, I would say that we need to cherish the people who volunteer and who come in, like the unpaid staff, to work on programs and to work around the station. I think we should cherish those people, and I think we should let those people who participate be involved in what goes on at KPFA and not push them away. There was a lot of conflict at KPFA, and I think with new people coming in to the unpaid staff, the paid staff, and with KPFA getting involved, volunteers and everything else, I think there'll be some changes. I think those changes will be good with a local station board, a good elected local station board, which you have people who really want to participate to make the station run better, sound better, and be productive in the community in which it, the Bay Area in which we live. So I think that we have to cherish our volunteers. We have to treat them much better. We have to let them get involved. We have to be more democratic at KPFA, and we have got to get all the people speaking, and also Pacifica Radio needs to be involved in what goes on at KPFA also. That's one of the things that I would really like to see happen at KPFA.
Thank you, Carl, and thank you, Matthew, for answering the questions. We have a little more time tonight, so we're going to do something a little different. Actually, we're going to ask, we have about 2 to 3 more questions in the hat, so I'm just going to pull them at random and give you a chance to answer one of the questions. Matthew, is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay, and the same for you. Is that okay for you, Carl?
Great.
Okay. So the next question that we have for you, Matthew, would be, what should be done to ensure the financial health of the station?
Okay. I wish I had a good answer to that. I've thought about it, and I'm not the greatest fundraiser in the world, but I do think that I have seen some wonderful KPFA events in which I think we could do 2 things simultaneously. Bring in major people who represent, you know, who would be attractive to different communities and different movements, and use those events as means to build a station and raise money. I also think we need things like craft fairs and more interesting things like that that we could figure out. It's going to take a real concentration on the board, I think.
Thanks. Carl, we're going to ask you the same question. The question is, what should be done to ensure the financial health of the station?
Well, one of the things that I would like to see happen is that the station do more fundraising, more fundraisers over the radio, and also participate with the labor councils throughout the Bay Area and ask them, say, do a radio program from one of the labor councils, like the San Francisco Labor Council or the San Mateo Labor Council. Do a radio program from there and allow the members of those councils to participate in what goes on the radio. And at the same time, ask those councils and those unions that are at those councils to fork over some money to keep the station live and keep the station running. That would be a good way to promote funding for KPFA. Also, I think that KPFA should fund forums throughout the Bay Area where they allow people to speak their mind, and at these forums, you know, with a number of people involved and participants who would like to speak to an audience, specifically KPFA members or KPFA listeners, to then also fund KPFA. So I think that funding of KPFA should do more outreach and do more varied things to generate funding besides the few things that KPFA does. I know they do quite a few, but they should vary them and do more diverse things also.
Thank you so much. Matthew, we have another question here. The question is, what would you do to resolve conflict and improve the functioning of the board?
A $64 question. Well, I tell you, listening tonight, I'm beginning to do some thinking. My view on conflicts is that three things. First of all, is that everybody has to treat everybody else with respect, and that means that this idea of assuming the worst. I've heard things said about the people on the Concerned Listeners thing. I know everybody on the Concerned Listeners slate. We're all organizers. We have worked for years on every good movement there is. And the idea that this is some kind of undemocratic cabal or something, I just find just unbelievable. And it's just not the way to start? Let's start, first of all, by assuming that we are progressives and we share certain values in common. We can have differences, but start off with respect. The second thing is accept the fact that we can have differences and that, therefore, compromise is the key. That we've got to find a way. This station has to be big enough to accommodate a very diverse community of progressives. There has to be a little something in it for everybody. If we can do that, then I think we can find the ways to grow new parts of the station and allow people to take care of the things they need. What will bring us down is if somebody wants to control the whole pie. And I think if we can do this, if we can treat each other with respect and make compromises, that would be my suggestion.
Thank you so much, Matthew. Carl?
Well, I think that one of the things that we have here in the United States and in the Bay Area is a democratic way of doing things. And in that democratic way, allowing everyone, including the minority and the small groups, to have their say, we allow for everyone to speak. In unions, when we have a union meeting, there's a lot of people that want to say a lot of things, but we have a parliamentary procedure. And I think that if the KPFA, I'm not going to speak of the LSB or the pay staff or whatever, but I think that it should be understood that in all meetings that a parliamentary procedure will be upheld throughout the meeting, and there will be a democratic discussion, and everybody will be have their turn to talk. And no one will be shut out of any meeting or be shut out and not allowed to talk or have their say. That's what happens in unions. That's what happens in the democratic venue, and that's what should happen at KPFA. I'm talking about all organizations should have a parliamentarian on the boards, on the staff, and those parliamentarians should have one way of dealing with issues, and that should come down throughout all the organizations at KPFA. That would end conflict. That would allow everybody to have their say. That would allow for debate. That would allow for discussion. And it would end because it would set those criteria by the organization and the parliamentarians. So, you know, being in the union, being in an organized setting, you understand how to get out what you need to say without conflict. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Matthew, and thank you so much, Carl. That just about ends our forum for tonight. If you guys don't mind, I'd ask you to do a closing statement for about 1 minute maximum before we leave tonight. Do you want to start off, Carl?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, I'm going for it. I believe that because I grew up in a democratic country, I believe that democracy works. And I believe that democracy works because it allows for everyone to have a say. No matter how mad you are, no matter how angry you are, you've got to stop, sit down, and write down what you have to say, and then you say it. You know, you can be very angry. You can be very upset with things. And I have been very upset at KPFA, being with the labor collective. I have been very upset. There have been a lot of things at KPFA that could have gone better. But, you know, we won't get into that. There was no democracy there. So my thing is that the only way KPFA is going to get better is by allowing for a democratic discussion and debate and allowing for everyone, no matter who they are, to have their say, And the only way you're going to have that is with democracy and a parliamentarian and a parliamentary procedure. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. Next up, we have Matthew Hallinan. Would you like to give us your closing statement for this evening?
Okay, I'll sort of pick up what Carl was talking about, and I think that one of the things we've learned about in this country is we do need democracy, and we do need the rule of law and democratic procedures in place. But one thing I think we've also learned is that democracy is never secure so long as there is a group of people who believe that they are so right that they don't have to play by the rules and will use every means they have to subvert what other people have to say, and they won't listen to them and so on. So democracy needs a culture of democracy, and I'll come back to that again. It needs an attitude. It needs respect, mutual respect. And I think the fight for democracy in KPFA cannot be separated from the fight for mutual respect. And so I'll just say that basically I think we've discussed process much too much tonight. I would have loved to discuss more about our vision. I think KPFA is a wonderful station, and it's got a great future, and we have to make it live up to that. And I hope we'll get into that and not just be fighting about these little internal power struggles. The people need KPFA to do more than that.
Thank you so much, Matthew. Thanks again for Carl. Let's give these guys both a round of applause.
Yeah.
Your guys are on the last string for tonight, and we're now at 10:30. What we're going to do is close for tonight and just congratulate everyone this evening for participating in the forum. If you'd like to learn more about the elections, please log on to www.kpfa.org/elections. Again, I want to thank you so much, Chris Welch, for participating, hosting, moderating. Wore so many hats tonight. Just thank you so much.
And Janae Jenkins, our KPFA's local election supervisor, has she got a job. And part of it's already underway with these forums and with the mailing of the ballots, which happened today. It should be coming in the mail any day now, and then you're going to be sending them back. The deadline is November the 15th for you to select which representatives you want to have on the local station board in your name. And that's why we're trying to give you a heads up about who's who here. And Janae, you mentioned that there are going to be some more forums. When are they?
Yes, the forums are scheduled for November. The first forum will be November the 3rd, and the second forum will be November the 10th.
With a similar format to what we've
done. With a similar format, yes. Instead of them being in the evening, they will occur in the morning. So on both Saturdays.
Cool. Okay. And with that, we are going to wonder what goes on next in between now and whenever what comes next starts happening. We'll go back to Mr. Marley, because you can't go wrong with Mr. Marley. This is, once again, the Roots Rock Remix.